I could hook up the TV, first of all, to a set of rabbit ears all closed up, and I would probably get no signal at all. It would just be full of static. Then I could pull out those rabbit ears and wrap that aluminum foil around it like we used to do. Many of you may not know what I'm talking about, but and then the picture begins to get a little bit clearer. You can see there's something there, but there's probably still going to be a lot of fuzziness. Then I could hook it up to an exterior antenna, and it would probably have a good picture and good sound, and we would think it looked really good, until I hooked it up to the final antenna that was a high-definition satellite antenna, full sound and color, and everything looks beautiful. And that's the way many of us are in our Christian lives. Many of us are folded up, or I say in Christian lives, that's the way many people receive the Word of God. Some people are closed up and don't want to hear what we have to say about the Word of God. Then there's others that the reception is there, but it's just temporary. It's cutting in and cutting out. And then there are those that look really good, and we think they look good, but then there are those who are in high definition, that their lives are lived the way and are portraying a picture of Jesus Christ in the way that they are living their lives. And they are telling others the story of Jesus Christ. They're telling people of his death and resurrection. They're teaching and equipping believers so that they are growing and maturing as well. And that's what we need to be looking for in our lives. Well, this morning we're going to see that Jesus does basically the same thing that I just did. He gives a parable, he gives an illustration, and then he turns around and explains that illustration to his disciples. So let's begin by getting an overview of what we're going to see this morning in Luke chapter 8. Beginning in verses 4 through 8, we're going to see that Jesus tells the parable of the soils to the crowd. And then in verses 9 and 10, we see that the disciples ask for further information, and he explains why he speaks in parables. And then finally, in verses 11 through 15, we're going to see that Jesus explains the parable of the soils. So let's begin by thinking about some background. The Gospel of Luke was written by Luke. He was a doctor, and he wrote his Gospel to give an orderly account of the life of Christ, and it's actually selected events of the life of Christ. Many of you probably turned to Luke this past week and read the Christmas story, because that's where you see the fullest account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Then we see him as a child, and then he begins his ministry. In Luke chapter 8, he has been in Galilee for some time now. He has been teaching, and he has been performing miracles to show that he is the Messiah and the Savior of the world, so that people would believe in him and have everlasting life. He has his disciples are with him, and there are these women who are with him as well, who were supporting him as he went around doing his ministry. Well, look with me at Luke chapter 8, verse 4, as he begins telling the parable of the soils to the crowd. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "When a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by the way of a parable." Luke emphasizes the crowd. He's already done this on two other occasions in chapter 5 and chapter 6. Many people come for different reasons. They're gathering to him. Some were gathering to him to hear him teach. Some were gathering together to him to see him perform miracles. Other people were coming to him because they wanted miracles performed on them. We have a large crowd gathered here today, and many of you may have come for different reasons. Many of you may have come for the donuts and fellowship. Many of you may have come for the worship and the singing. Many of you may have come to give. I hope many of you did. And then many of you may have come this morning because you want to know Jesus Christ better. You want to know his word better so that you can apply it to your lives and turn around and teach it to others. Well, the crowd is gathered, and on this occasion, Jesus is going to speak to them by the way of a parable. Look with me to verse 5, and Jesus begins his parable. It says, that the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some, and some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Now, a parable is something, it's a story, it's an illustration designed to give some truth. One person said that Jesus often taught in parables, and what the parables did was they compelled the listeners to dig the truth for themselves, and they concealed the truth from those too lazy or too dull to understand. But one thing I want you to see, that there's a difference in verse 5 versus verses 6, 7, and 8. In verse 5, we see no growth, no sign of life from the seed that was planted. But in verse 6, we see that it says, it grew up. And then in verse 7, the thorns grew up with it. And in verse 8, it grew up and produced. Look with me at verse 6. It says, other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So there are 3 different types of soil that produced growth from the seed. There was life in all 3 of those seeds. We'll get further explanation on this here in just a minute as Jesus gives his explanation to the disciples. But notice how he ends verse 8. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does that mean? He knew that the people that were there, that were listening, had ears to hear. But like I said earlier, many come with closed up minds and closed up ears. They didn't care about what he was teaching. Many of those in this parable were the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They were standing there and they were listening to him, but they didn't care about what he said. Many people are like that. Whenever they come to church, they're closed up and they don't want to hear a word from Jesus Christ. But those that want to hear, that want to know more from the word, they don't just know it. They apply it to their lives, and they do as the disciples do here in verse 9. They dig, they ask for further information. Jesus Christ is the living word, and they asked him for further information. Me and you, we have the word of God written down in the Bible, and we are to be asking it for further information. We are to be studying it and digging it so that we can gain further information and know more in depth the things about Christ and his life and his ministry and the salvation message that comes through his word. Well, look at verse 9 as we see the reason for parables, as his disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant. They were digging for further information. This is what we are to do. We are to dig God's word for further information. If you only read through verse 8, you wouldn't know probably yourselves what he was talking about. But if you continue on reading, if you continue on studying, if you look on further in the passage, you will see an explanation. Not always is the Bible that easy that you can just read a few more verses and find out exactly what he's talking about. But in this case, it is. Well, look at verse 10 as he gives a brief reason for using parables. And he said to the disciples, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. It was granted to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, I believe, because of 3 different reasons. The first reason is this, because they had believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had been with him. They had believed in him. They were following him. They were listening to his teaching, and they were obeying it in their lives. They had placed their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, because he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. At the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we get the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us, who empowers us to go out and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. But according to John 14:26, he also teaches us, and he brings to our remembrance the things that we've been taught. because these people had put their faith in Jesus Christ, these disciples had believed in Jesus Christ, they had the Holy Spirit within them, and they were able to take in deeper things from God's Word. At the end of John 18, 37 and 38, Jesus said, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." In order to hear the voice of Jesus, we have to be of the truth, which means we have to be believers in Jesus Christ in order to get the deeper things that come from His Word. The second reason, I believe, is because they had responded positively to the Word that they had already been taught. Again, these disciples had been with Him, they had been watching His life, they had been listening to His teaching, and they began to be like Him. They were like the one they were with. And so He began to give them further information. He could give them deeper teaching because they were doing something with what they had already been taught. Philippians 4:9 says, "The things which you have learned and received, heard and seen in me, practice these things." The things that we hear and that we see from God's Word, the things that we see imitated in the lives of other believers, these are the things that we are to imitate. Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." We are to be living a life so that others can see Christ in us. And this, and as we respond positively to the Word of God, it allows Him to give us further revelation and further information from His Word so that we can take and live that out as well. And then the final reason was because they were digging it deeper. They were asking the Word of God for further information, just as we are to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." You cannot accurately handle the word of truth by just coming to church on Sunday mornings and hear what is taught. You cannot accurately handle the word of truth and know how it fits together by just reading the word of God. You have to dig it. You have to get into it. You have to study it and ask the word of God for deeper and further information. But as to the rest, so that they may not see and understand, the reason was because they were not doing one of these three things. Maybe they were not believers. Maybe they had not responded positively to the Word of God. Or maybe they were not digging the Word of God deeper. And so He told it to them in parables so that they did not see and understand what He was telling them. We'll look at verse 11 as He begins to explain the parable of the soils. In verse 11, He says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Jesus begins by giving His explanation of the seed that was being thrown out. That was the word of God. That's what Jesus was doing on that day to the crowd. He was handing out the word of God to those people. It's what the disciples were getting ready to be sent out by Jesus, and they were to do the same thing. They were to throw out the seed, the Word of God, to the people whom they were around. And we have that same responsibility as well, to throw the seed, the Word of God, out to other people. To unbelievers, we throw out the seed of the gospel. To those who are believers, we are to be digging and studying deeper into God's Word so that we can teach them truths and principles by which they are to live their lives. We are not to be selective about who we share the Word with. Jesus Christ was not. The crowd showed up and He gave them information. We are to be faithful to give out the message, but we should understand that not all people are going to respond to the message in the same way. The way the others respond to the message is not up to us. It's up to the soil, and the soil is each and every one of us. The soil are those people who are hearing the word. For you today, it's you sitting here because you are the ones hearing the word. It's up to you and it's up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and He is the one who teaches and brings to remembrance to the believers. So we are to be faithful to spread the word of God. Look on at verse 12 as He describes the first type of people. He says, "Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved." The purpose of Christ and the devil are opposite. Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to seek and save those believers. While the devil, according to 1 Corinthians 4:4, blinds the hearts of the unbelieving. Notice the devil is the one who comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. So what is the sole condition of being saved according to this verse? It is believing. How are people saved? John 3:16, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. We receive eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. We are saved by believing in Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the gospel to unbelievers. The gospel, simply put, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, became a man. He died on the cross, paying for the sins of the entire world. He arose from that grave, proving that the payment of sin had been met, proving that he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and proving that death had been conquered. So how can he promise us eternal life? Because he has conquered death, he can give life as a gift to everyone who simply believes in him. It's an eternal relationship that begins at the moment we believe in him. We're to begin growing that relationship at that time. He is alive and we should treat him as such. There may be some of you today who are here in this place who fall into this category of people. People who have heard about Jesus Christ, but you've been closed up, shut up, and you have had the devil pull the word away from you so that you will not believe and be saved. But let me tell you, today is a new day, and right where you're sitting, you can believe in Jesus Christ, and he will offer you the gift of everlasting life. People believing in Christ is the devil's greatest threat. That's why I believe Jesus says that the devil personally snatches the word away, because once you believe in Christ, he has lost the battle. He can never take it away from you. John 10:28 says, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." We are safe, held, secure, protected by the hand of Jesus Christ and God the Father. No one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, in verse 12, we saw that the devil snatches away the word. In verse 13, we're going to see the temptations, the pull of the flesh on people. And then in verse 14, we're going to see the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the three pulls that God uses, or that Satan uses, to keep man from believing in Christ or from man growing and leading others to faith in Christ. So let's look at verse 13 and see the next group of people. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root, for they believed for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Notice what the verse says. When they hear, they receive the word with joy. Jesus goes on to explain what that means, that they believed for a while. At the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, what do you get? You get eternal life. So if you quit believing, do you lose eternal life? No, you don't. Otherwise, it wasn't eternal life. It was life until you quit believing. Some people argue whether the people in verse 13 and 14 are Christians, are believers, are saved people. But Jesus Christ clearly says right here that these people had believed, so they are Christians. Let me give you an example. Somebody goes off to a youth camp here in Oklahoma, Falls Creek, for the summer, and they go there for that week in time. They're invited by a friend. They don't normally go to church. Because of all the hype and everything that's going on, they believe in Jesus Christ. They get saved. No, that's not what happens. They go there, and because of the hearing of the Word of God, and because of the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, they believe in Jesus Christ, and at that moment they believe in Jesus Christ, they get what? They get everlasting life. So what happens? Many times after those camps, you come back. You get back into the flow of life. It may stick with you for a week, a month, 6 months. But usually that feeling that you get from that camp, that excitement, that hype that you got at the camp goes away. And what happens is many times those people get back around their worldly friends that they have back here at home, and they begin to fall away. But if they were to die at the moment, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, are they still saved? Yes, they are saved. Because why? They believed in Jesus Christ, and He gave them at that moment everlasting life. The people in this verse believed, so they are believers. They are saved. I see no minimum time requirement in Scripture on saving faith. Now, is this what we want from people? Absolutely not. We want people to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want them to be rooted firm in the foundation so that when others ask them questions, they're ready to give an answer for the hope that is within them. When people challenge them and say, you can't know if you're going to have eternal life until the end of your life, we can say, yes, I do know, because Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God promised long ages ago eternal life to whosoever believes in Him, and so I have eternal life based on God's promise. I love the backside of that. Looking at Romans 4:21, it's talking about Sarah and Abraham. And Abraham said that being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. It seemed unlikely that Sarah and Abraham were able to have a child because they were both advanced in years. But God made a promise to them, and Abraham believed God, believed that what God promised, he was able to perform. Looking back in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ, there's this lady. Her name is Elizabeth. She is advanced in years. She becomes pregnant. Then there is this virgin who is with child, who has never had relations with a man, and he is with child. How is this possible? Luke 1, verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." God has the power to perform whatever promises He made, and He made the promise of eternal life to everyone who would believe in Him. Eternal life is not based on what we do, but what Christ did on the cross and the promise that God made, eternal life to all who believe in Him. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." If we are faithless, if we turn away from Him, He is faithful to keep His promise, even if we are faithless. If you are someone who falls into this category, I urge you to get grounded, to get rooted, to begin studying God's Word, to get into, I teach the 4:12 foundations on Wednesday nights, beginning when SBI begins on January the 14th. I urge you to get in there because it is the foundational truths on which we believe and what we see from Scripture. And by being rooted and grounded in there, you are less likely to fall away from the temptations and the things of this world when you're rooted and grounded in God's Word. Also, we think about in that class some verses. If there are temptations and things that pull us away on a regular basis, we find Scripture that we can memorize so that we can fight off those temptations with God's Word. I urge you, if you're in this group, to get rooted, to get grounded in God's Word. Look at verse 14 for the next group. It says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." Now remember back to verse 7, it said that the thorns grew up with the seed. So there was growth, there was life there, but the growth produced no mature fruit. Worries, riches, and pleasures of this life are a constant struggle, I believe, for everyone. I know they are for me. The truth is, the more riches you have, the more you have to worry about. Riches and pleasures of this life are what the world tells us to live for. They say, live for today. Have the latest and newest gadget. have the biggest house, the finest car. That's what all the advertisements on TV are pointing towards. Live for yourself and live for today. You turn off the TV and you open God's Word and you find a different story. You see, live for God. Live for others. Live in humility. Live for the eternal. We as believers may not know what today brings, but we do know what eternity brings. So why not live for something we know about rather than what we do not know about, the temporary things of this world? Worries, riches, and pleasures are temporary. God, His people, and His Word are eternal. Those are the things that we should be investing our lives in, because one day we'll all stand before Him. And what do we want to hear Him say? Well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to stand before Him and say, man, look at the house that I had back there. Look at the car I used to drive. Look at the amount of hours I spent at work so I could grow up all of this money and all of this fortune that I, left back there and have nothing to present to Him. What do we want to present to Him? We want to present to Him mature, faithful Christians that we have grown up because we were believing in Jesus Christ. We made application, we dug it further, and we gave that away. Notice what that verse says. They bring no fruit to maturity. The people who are here today, sitting right beside you, many times they look like good Christians. They look like they are people who are imitating Christ. But yet, when you ask them, who have you shared your faith with? Who are you discipling and teaching God's Word to? They will give you no answer. They may be the people who are even there on Wednesday nights, the faithful people who are faithful to come and to gather the information, but yet they do nothing with it. To share your faith, it takes time, it takes courage, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit who is living inside of you to proclaim the gospel to unbelievers. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach you, to equip you, to train you. It takes time for you to dig God's Word. It takes time for you to get together with other people and to disciple them. But it shows the world who Christ is rather than who I am. Some people have all of the information but no application. Some people have all of the information but no participation. We are here to participate in the will of God, and the will of God for our lives is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to bring people from unbelievers to believers, from believers to disciples, and from disciples to disciple makers. Are we living our lives in light of the way that God would have for us to do? Are you taking the things that you've been taught and entrusting them to faithful people who will be able to teach others also? If you're someone who falls into this group, I encourage you to dig deeper into God's Word and to see the truths and principles, but don't just see them for yourself. Take those, make application in your life. Let your life be changed by God's Word so that whenever you look into God's Word, it will be a reflection back on the life that you are to be living. Take the things that you've been taught, entrust those to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Proclaim the good news to unbelievers, teach the believers so that they can grow up to maturity. Well, the final group is the group we should all be striving for, and it's found in verse 15. It says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So they heard the word in an honest and good heart. They are people of character. They are people who hear the word with an open and honest and good heart and are wanting to receive the message that has been being given out. They hold it fast. They're not coming here to check this off of their list so that they can get out the door. They are taking it to heart. They are digging it deeper. They are applying it to their lives. And then ultimately, they are bearing fruit with perseverance. We pass on to others the things that we've been taught. We are not selfish with the Word of God. We are not keeping it so that we can be puffed up about all of the information we have. Many of us want to keep the information that we have here, but Howard Hendricks gives us the best way to keep what you have learned here today is to give it away. You have to take what you've learned here today. You've got to dig it on a level that is good enough for you to be able to turn around and to teach it to someone else. That's the best way to keep the information that you've had, is just to give it away. Let me tell you, fruit doesn't just grow on trees. It needs moisture. And how do you get moisture? You get it through encouragement. You get it through people who are discipling you so that you can grow up. You also need exposure to the sunlight. And I'm talking S-O-N light. You need to be in God's Word on a regular basis so that you can have exposure to the sun. So you have water, you have sunlight. Those are two of the things that you need. And then also, you've got to take those things and give them away. It takes time to do that. It takes time to produce mature fruit. So it takes moisture, it takes sunlight, and it takes time. So let me ask you this. Do you have someone to disciple and encourage you in your Christian walk? Are you being exposed to the sun on a regular basis? How do you spend your time? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." How are we going to understand what the will of the Lord is if we're not in His Word? How are we going to make the most of our time? We have to set time aside to read His Word, to study His Word, to meditate on His Word, to memorize His Word, because the days are evil, and if we are not making time and not putting it on our calendar, the ways of this world will eat up all of our time. The world, the flesh, and the devil will pull away all of our time. It is the will of the Lord for us to grow and be producing fruit. If you fall into this category, then I tell you to keep on keeping on. Stay in God's Word. Be reading, memorizing, praying, meditating. Then take what you have been taught and give it away to others so that you can produce mature fruit. So what have we seen this morning? We have seen a crowd gathers and Jesus teaches the crowd using a parable. Then He gives further explanation to His disciples who are asking for it. He shows that when the Word of God is proclaimed, people receive it in different ways. Some will not believe and be saved. Others will believe and never get rooted and will quickly fall away. Others will believe and take in the Word, but they are too worried about the riches, the pleasures of this life to bring other believers to maturity. And finally, there are those who believe, grow, and produce. And that's who we should be striving to be. Remember this, the growth and maturity is ultimately up to you. You are represented in this parable by the soil. The seed is the Word of God. How is it going to affect you? What are you going to do with it? Let's think about some applications. Number one is, if you are here today and you never believed in Jesus Christ, right where you're sitting, you can believe in Him to receive the greatest gift of all, everlasting life, an eternal relationship with the Almighty God. Also, at the moment you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. There are other things that you receive, but according to what we're talking about this morning, you receive the Holy Spirit, who does one thing: He empowers us. He empowers us to go out and to be witnesses for Him in this lost and fallen world, to tell others the good news message of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing the Holy Spirit does for us is it teaches us and brings to our remembrance what we've been taught, according to John 14:26. So the Holy Spirit is there to teach us and to bring remembrance so that we can put the Bible together as we're studying, but He also brings to remembrance whenever we're out teaching other people or talking to other people about Christ. We don't have to worry about what we can remember. It's the Holy Spirit who brings to our remembrance the things that we've been taught. Then the second thing we need to do is grow. We need to apply what we already know from God's Word. Many of us know a lot of things from God's Word, but are we truly making application in our life? Are we doing what Philippians 4:9 says, the things which you have learned and received, heard and seen in me, are we practicing these things? And then, in order to grow, we have to dig the Word. We have to be in God's Word, digging it, studying it, so that we can know the deeper things, so that we can know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, just as Jesus gave to His disciples in this parable. And then the third thing we want to do is we want to produce. We want to evangelize unbelievers. We want to tell them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and tell them that by believing in Him, they can have everlasting life. And then we want to be training believers in order to bring them to maturity so that they are complete. Unbelievers to believers, believers to disciples, disciples to disciple makers, complete, mature Christians. That's what we want to present before Him. Colossians 1:28 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "We proclaim Him." There's the evangelism. "We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom." Wisdom comes from the Word of God. "Admonishing every man and teaching all men with wisdom, so that," for the purpose of, "that we may present every man complete in Christ." We want to stand before Him and not show Him worthless fluff. We want to show Him mature, complete Christians that we can present to Him so that we can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Going back to my opening illustration, what type of antenna are you using when it comes to receiving God's Word? Is your picture clear enough that other people are believing, growing, and producing when they look to you for information from God's Word?